Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America and espousing Christian values. And we're trying to free people one enslaved mind at a time. And it's kind of working. I mean, the mainstream media has really lost its grip. And they're certainly not espousing the virtues that we try to do here on this show. But we would ask that you would join us in spreading the word as to what we're demonstrating here, what we teach, what we stand for, because we still have a country I think that's worth fighting for. And we do have midterms coming up, and we're in that season. People say, dude, I don't see any campaigns. We're posturing right now. We need to change mindsets to get people involved. People were geared for the presidential election, but if Trump and his party lose the House and or the Senate, it's game over for the reforms that we had hoped for. Hey, we're brought to you by the NanoSoma products. This right there, the NanoSoma spray, changed my life for the better. I got diagnosed very serious illness last year. I had pneumonia, got through that, and I also had RSV, strep lung linings. Dave's going to go south, not going to be good for you. Nothing else worked. Now, this doesn't cure anything, but what it does do is it boosts your immune system to a terrific level by enhancing vitamin D, C, affecting the telomeres of the cells. It's all right there at iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. How long did it take me? Well, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. 2 weeks after using this, I was walking up a flight of stairs back in the gym at a very low level. But when I got back in the gym, I had age-old problems that forced me to quit playing basketball 25 years ago, and that was bone on bone, right knee. And my friend Scotty Sachs says, Dave, use this NanoSoma gel, rub it on the joint. And he says, I don't know how long it's going to take, but eventually going to get relief. Within a month, I was doing things I didn't think was possible. Within 6 months, I was doing things I hadn't done in over 25 years. No inflammation in the knee when I work out. I do sledding, I do squats, deadlifts, and I'm not breaking world record at my age. But this stuff I'm doing now would have sent me into a bad situation with regard to inflammation 25 years ago and up to the present. And I've basically have been pain-free for the last 8 or 9 months. And then the vanity cream erases fine lines and wrinkles. That's the NanoSoma skin cream. Together, they're the three pack, and they sell together called a starter pack. Great discounts, 15% off. And this stuff has been a godsend for me. I owe my life to this company, and I won't be happy until everyone's using these products. Well, we have a very interesting story here, and you can see in the background, I've got a map that I've put up there, and you can see the Nevada-Oregon border, and you can see what's called the McDermott Lithium Project, and the little circle behind me that you can partially see, and we'll have that on the thumbnail. Is called the McDermott Caldera. And this, if you know about the caldera, it can be a precursor to volcanic activity, and somewhat this has, but not going to go there, I don't believe. But the caldera has settled, the water is gone, and basically raw lithium is exposed on the surface. And lithium is amazingly important. We're at a crossroads right now in our development, economically speaking. We had the Copper Age, we had the Bronze Age, we had the Iron Age. Now, this is going to be known, I believe, as the Lithium Age, because everything that we're doing, from satellites to cell phones to anything with a battery at all, electric vehicles, power tools, e-bikes. So we're spanning a whole range of products and devices that can benefit from abundance of lithium. And it's estimated by 2040, that's only 15 years from now, that we will need 40 times the lithium that we have right now. Now, we can commit economic suicide and we can go try to import it from China. Don't think they're going to give us very, very favorable terms, given what's going on geopolitically. You can go to areas in South America, but they're charging an arm and a leg. There's some in Afghanistan, and we do have our base back at Bagram as a counter to Chinese military threats because it's within an hour of Chinese nuclear facilities. But I don't know that the Taliban's going to be really open for us to do mass mining and stripping out the lithium. But here we have a gift that's also in North Carolina, too hard to get out, too many people to displace. Maine, with their very liberal policies, don't want to allow any mining because they believe any mining is anti-climate, okay, health. And so they block all that. Nevada's open-minded, but you can see that this lithium project projects into southern Oregon, not by a lot, but what concerns me here is Oregon and their politics are much more similar to Maine than they are to Nevada. So I'm wondering if they would ever try to block this by actions in federal district courts, and Donald Trump can tell you what that's all about. They may go about this as far as, well, shall we say, being bad for climate change. And I'm not saying they're going to, but that's their history. So this may be exclusively Nevada. Although this is such an economic boon. Yeah, exactly. The leaders of Oregon might have to make a decision there. Okay, so let's talk about the companies involved. And there's going to be controversy. And let me go take you back in time. Did people get stepped on in industrialization? Yeah, primarily it was the workers. That's how labor unions got started. We had the Haymarket riot and all those things, if you know your American history. So whenever we go through a technological change, a guy named Zbigniew Brzezinski, who helped found the Trilateral Commission and was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, he wrote a book called Between Two Ages. And in the book, he said that when a country or a region goes through a huge technological shift, the people go through a hard time for about a generation or about 20 years. Well, that was true in the industrial age. In fact, I would argue it even went on sporadically to the negative, even exceeding the 20 years. Well, that happened with this, has the potential, and I'll be covering that with you before we leave this topic. But I will say this. The negativity associated with this project and the people it will impact is still yet to be fully researched. Actually, Pat Wood brought the victimization of certain groups to my attention in a phone call he made to me a couple of days ago. You know, Pat Wood from Technocracy News. And I asked Pat, I said, "Do you have a lot of detail on this?" He goes, "Not really." He goes, "I'm just finding out about it." Excuse me. But he said the battle is going to be over water. I'll cover that in here, and we'll absolutely hit that. So I think this is something to be mindful of. Can we take advantage of what's going to be amazing and still respect people's rights? That's going to be the balancing act. And corporations, they're amoral. They're not necessarily evil in many cases, but they're not necessarily concerned about people. They're concerned about the next quarter profits, their stockholders, and they have to have a sense of fairness and justice and morality imposed upon them. And this is true for many, many corporations. Remember Jesus going through the temple? His target then was the bankers. Same attitudes. All right, let's take a look at the companies involved. Lithium America. There's North America, South America, and they split into two. And it's really clear why they split. I guarantee you this came from the Trump administration because Lithium America in South America is dominated by by Ganfeng. And what does that sound like? Chinese, right? They're dominating lithium mining in South America, Chile, Ecuador, Bolivia, where the largest known mine is right now. They're dominating. Well, the Trump administration doesn't want to give China a foothold on what could be the most valuable mineral in the next 15 years. and something that has the potential to totally turn around our economy. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. So what happened is North America, South America, Lithium America, they split, they bifurcated. No China on this end in Nevada. And it's not that they're not going to make a power play, and they usually do it through third-party shell corporations to hide their intentions. I think the Trump administration is going to be all over this. That's not going to happen. Okay, so let's get into the situation now. This lithium deposit is so massive, it would be the biggest in the world, and it wouldn't be close. With Trump's fascination that we see for a Ukrainian minerals deal with Zelensky, and now we've got something going on with the Congo with regard to their minerals. Lithium, by the way, is a major part of it. I haven't heard of that. No, it's pretty much out of the news. You have to research it. But there was a revolution, still kind of is, but not like it was. There were rebels that actually took over part of the capital city. And Trump has come down on the side of the existing power. And it's not like this dictator is benevolent. He's not. But Trump is making deals for support to get these minerals. So his fascination obviously is going to be pushed into this caldera area, what we call McDermott, the McDermott caldera, the McDermott area. And this is called the McDermott Lithium Project. You know, the feds are going to be here. And it was really important for Trump that he got control of the EPA, because EPA applied as it was in the last administration could clearly block this project. Because there is a potential to displace wildlife. American bald eagle in this area is one of them. Okay, many wildlife species could be endangered by this. So there is a drawback here. And I don't know if these concerns are going to be imposed on the developers. I suspect not. There's also going to be the impact on a nearby community. They anticipate increasing their population by 20 to 50%. And they say sewer, water, and housing. They only have the ability to build about 4 to 6 houses a year. And that, well, this could be off the charts. So these companies are promising to m build what they call man dormitories for the workers to live in. Yeah, well, if you want to be a normal guy and meet a lovely girl and get married and have a family, you're not going to stay in the man dormitory very long. You're going to be going to the nearby city, and this is going to put stress on the city. But the biggest objection right now to this project are two Native American tribes. They view this area, part of this area, as being spiritually sacred. And I got to tell you, most Americans will side with the Native Americans here, because the feeling is, haven't these people had enough done to them in the past? Victims of imperialism, unfair treatment, stripping of land and resources. How far does this go? The checkbook has to come out. And I don't know if that's enough to overcome indigenous spiritual beliefs about a geographic area. But you know who's going to win. And then there's the issue of water. There are farmers and ranchers in the area. Now, there is a plan from this company that they're only going to mine for the first 20 years above the water table. So you would presume that there would be a limited effect on the availability of water. But the 40-year lease would allow, in the second 20 years of the lease, to mine below the water level. This would affect farmers and ranchers. And this is what prompted Pat Wood to call me. He gave us in my area some assistance when we were fighting the forces of John McCain and the Central America Free Trade Agreement Group with Ted Kennedy and all those people. They wanted us off our land so they could build a multimodal hub to further their transportation corridor called the Kennemex Highway System. and they didn't want to pay us any money. They knew they had time, and they just tried to get local agencies, particularly county and state, to pass laws that had basically stripped us of our property rights. 8-year legal battle on our end. That's what actually put me behind the microphone. And don't ever speak up at a public meeting, because I did in my community. They go, "You're the spokesperson." And my life was never the same. 8-year battle. We were mostly successful. We're still fighting some lingering battles, but as far as property rights go, we were very successful. And we really won against all odds. We really shouldn't have, but we got unexpected support from now Supreme Court Justice Clint Bullock, who then was with the Goldwater Institute, and mutual friend of ours got him to get interested in our case, and they took it on, much to the chagrin of how they got hammered by the mainstream media. We weren't entitled to property rights. I actually had a meeting, to digress for a second, with the Arizona Republic Editorial Board. I kid you not. It was myself and my wife. My co-leader, Gary Byler, was too sick to go. The late Gary Byler, Silver Star Award winner, Vietnam, 2 tours of duty, double amputee. That Gary Byler was one of my heroes. But Gary was too sick to go, so it was just my wife and myself. And I presented the constitutional violations that were going on with regard to how this was being administered. And we naively hoped that the Arizona Republic would side with us. Well, they didn't. In fact, the leader of Vonita Hawthorne James, she had a little different view of the Constitution and republic form of democracy than we did. Because after we went through everything, now, by the way, the two people with her, they'll both leave the editorial board. And they both told me at one time that, interestingly, they said, "Dave, your case was one of the reasons why we couldn't be a part of this." And they went to work for other groups journalistically. One of the journalists was the younger sister of someone I'd coached in basketball. So she had familiarity with me. I knew the family well, and it really worked to our benefit. But Vonita Hawthorne James leaned over the table. And she goes, "Dave, I understand all your constitutional arguments, and you've articulated them very clearly, and you seem to be on very solid ground. But for the good of the country, shouldn't you just get off your land?" And I said, "Well, maybe." But I said, "Compensation?" She goes, "No, they probably can't afford it." I'm not joking. I'm telling this story by digression to apply it into this situation. Pat Wood called me for a reason, because Pat Wood gave me some assistance during that time when we were going through that 8-year battle. He knew I would be sensitive to some of these issues. So he calls me and we talk. He says, "Dave, I don't know a lot yet, but I thought you might be interested." And so I decided to research this. Now, let me say this. It's the position of the Common Sense Show that we do need to rescue our economy, and we are going into a lithium age, and we can be the world trendsetter, and we can be exporting as opposed to importing, and that will mean many more jobs, a more stable economy. And maybe people can return to a sense of economic normality that's been sadly missing in the last several years. So I recognize the need to do this, but I also recognize our responsibility to our citizens to do it fairly and in a non-punitive manner. And I'm bringing this up because right now I don't have answers. I am going to reach out to some of these tribal leaders to see if they're willing to talk to me. I've found in these issues too, involving many of the tribes across America, they're suspicious of anyone who sounds like the media, because the media hasn't always been friendly to them. Hopefully I can disarm their mistrust and get them to realize I just want to be fair. But I'm concerned about these people. I'm concerned, and this is why Pat called me. He knew someone who was a farmer, and they're afraid they're going to lose their water eventually because of this mining operation. And Pat said, "Dave, I knew this would get your attention." And he's right. And so we'll be looking to get there. Now, if you're hearing this and you're in the affected area, okay, and you're someone who's a stakeholder in this, feel free to reach out to me at DaveHodges@thecommonsenseshow.com, and I'd be happy to talk to you. Maybe we'll do a spot on our radio network about this. But this is something that I'm going to explore. Now, people say, well, Dave, are you for it? Yes, I'm for it. But I'm for it in a responsible manner that respects everyone's rights. And this is something that I literally think this could save the economy of the country. Literally, it's that big. But at what expense? I don't believe in collateral damage and acceptable casualty excuses. That doesn't fly with me. And I don't know if monetary compensation will help the tribes with what they're fighting. I saw this with Lahaina, with people not being able to get the insurance they need to rebuild, the insensitivity of the powers that be. In that regard, I've seen it. And I'm afraid that this could repeat right here. So anyway, just thought you ought to know. And here's the bottom line. Pat Wood said this best. I said, Pat, do the people have standing? This is before I looked into it. And he goes, Dave, I think you know how this is probably going to end. Well, maybe and maybe not. The power of the collective, raising the voices of people who care, could make a difference and make this beneficial for everyone and not exploitive to the few without a governmental voice. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. I'm celebrating. You see in the background, we've created some of what you can read, and you have two lovely ladies. They're lovely until they talk, but they are in the background there. I don't know if you can guess who they are. Kind of some giveaways here. I'm obscuring some of the print, but I'm wondering if you can figure out what the message is going to be about. Well, it's the best news I could have had, other than there's relative peace between India and Pakistan. It looks like we've reached a total trade agreement with China, with revision period open for 90 days, and that Iran and the Houthis are backing off. I could keep going on and on. I mean, Ukraine, Russia, maybe on the eve of a 30-day unconditional ceasefire. I mean, peace is breaking out all across the planet. That's a lot to celebrate. This might even be better because the victories I just mentioned will be more numerous if what's behind me comes to fruition. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And some of the people are saying, Dave, I've just newly discovered you. What are you about? Well, I'm a conservative, but more importantly, I'm a conservative Christian. We're decidedly Christian, but we are not judgmental. The Bible commands us, judge not lest you be judged. And so all people are welcome here. Liberal point of views, conservative point of views. In fact, I tell this story, and it's absolutely the truth. Of my inner circle of really what are my four best friends, two of them are liberal. And yet we'll socialize and we'll talk about some of our beliefs and differences. And these are highly intelligent men, highly intelligent. I mean, high IQ types, successful in what they have done in life. And I'm looking, I go, you have some points. And they say the same thing, and we get along and we enjoy each other. This is how it should be. But the people who you'll discover in a minute, pictured behind me, they don't want us to get along. They make their careers on division, being divisive, being insulting. I don't mean calling out people for their bad acts. That's part of what we do here. But they are just blanketly. And really, there's a lot of bigotry in their rhetoric, and it's concerning. And they espouse lawlessness, which I don't. Being a Christian, there you start with the Ten Commandments and then the Bible, the Word of God, and this is what we live by here. We're decidedly Christian in our approach. It doesn't mean that you can't be forceful. Jesus walked through the temple. What did he do? He threw the bum bankers out, didn't he? He was a man's man when he needed to be, or should I say, God's man's man. Anyway, we're going to tell you all about this right here on the Common Sense Show. But first, I won't be happy till everyone's on these products because I know what they did for me. NanoSoma Spray. brought me back from a terrible, terrible situation last year. It doesn't cure anything. It boosts your immune system. You go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges, tell you all about it. Okay, when I was in the gym regaining my health a little over a year ago, the joint problems cropped up again. But I started to apply this and I got relief. I felt great. And today, I had a leg workout last night, did the squats, knee extensions, whole thing. No pain in the knees today. I can step off a step today without pain. I couldn't do that a year ago. This is the product, the NanoSoma gel. This is the NanoSoma spray. And then finally, a little vanity cream here erases fine lines and wrinkles. And together, this is your three pack, the magic pack. And there's a discount, 15% off the magic pack. I want myhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, what am I talking about here? This is, oh my gosh, this is funny. This is so funny. Breaking news. This is from Democrats. AOC and Crockett, so AOC and Jasmine Crockett from Texas are emerging as the front runners for the 2028 ticket for the Democratic Party in the presidential election. Now, obviously, they're both members of Congress, but you listen to their rhetoric, and it's hateful. Jasmine Crockett routinely bashes white people, and I've gone through some of those examples before, and I don't want to belabor on her hateful statements, but I'm thinking, ma'am, you were elected by the constituents of your district, and they come from all backgrounds: Native American, Asian, white, black, Latino. Don't you have a duty to represent everybody and try to be as fair as possible and try to lift everybody up? Instead, you just pound and pound. Oh, the problem with white men, dot, 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 quote from Jasmine Crockett. And I look at that, I don't get mad. I'm just thinking how sad for your constituents that they're represented in this fashion. And then your foul mouth, Jasmine. I mean, I don't think you can deliver an impassioned speech without dropping in the four-letter words. And occasionally I understand where people slip and they get emotional. I've done that, but this is a matter of routine for her, and it doesn't display the professionalism that befits the office that she holds. And then so she defends lawlessness. I mean, her statements about the two congresswomen who crossed and bum rushed with their entourage along with the mayor of Newark. They bum rushed the security line at the ICE detention center. Right. And they get in there, and one of the congresswomen's actually elbowing and pushing an ICE agent as he's effecting arrest on the Newark, New Jersey mayor who criminally trespassed, was resisting any effort to escort him out. So they arrested him. And she says, if anything happens to these women, if any charges or investigation takes place, there's going to be a problem. And her rhetoric is inciting. She incites violence. And this is at a time of high emotionality in this country with deep divisions. And this is the last thing we need to hear from a leader. We need to talk about how we can come together and live together and get along instead of taking one side over the other and saying, yeah, there's nothing that can happen to these people that are too bad. Okay, so that's Jasmine, totally unprofessional. And she's emerging as a candidate for one of the two highest offices in the land. That's scary. But I have another take I'll finish with. But first, let's go to AOC. Her motto should be, I'm from the government, and what's ours is ours, and what's yours is also ours. Trump's tax cuts, all for billionaires. Excuse me, I'm not a billionaire, and I'm going to benefit from Trump's tax cuts. And Biden's tax increases would devastate what's left of the middle class in America. This is scary. She acts like making money is a crime. We need wealthy people and large corporations to employ, to develop, to innovate, to be a manufacturing hub, and particularly if we ever have to defend ourselves for a prolonged period of time, transfer into wartime industry for the production of weapons. This is how we won World War II. And she's against these monolithic corporations. Now, should there be limits placed on them? Yeah, they should never ever be allowed to contribute one dime to an election. Yet she takes donations from these corporations in large amounts. She's one of the biggest recipients from Big Pharma, just to give you an example. So she talks out of both sides of her mouth. She doesn't want you, the American people, to have a middle-class lifestyle. But meanwhile, she's enriching herself with the donations she gets from the very people that she's putting down that benefits from the Trump administration tax policies. Exactly. Okay. The wind will shift and so will her views. And she is hated by her constituents. You see the town hall meeting? She's had to walk out of several of them because she gets confronted. And I don't mean violently, I just mean verbally with her bad acts. And she has said too, it's our duty to help criminal illegal aliens avoid ICE arrest. Excuse me, she's advocating for obstruction of justice. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. Plain and simple. This is obstruction. And she hints on the side of violence as well to get their way. We have to do what we have to do, is what she's been known to say. Now, you're probably thinking, I dread these two. No, actually, I don't. I don't. When you have policies and rhetoric that alienate yourself from the middle class, and the middle class is awakened, they vote now, and they vote early, which was a big factor in getting Trump elected. But when you have that kind of behavior, and you've alienated that many people in a Jasmine Crockett situation, when you alienate the white block of voters with your rhetoric and you stereotype white people, as she has done in her statements, they can't win an election. I mean, this is worse than Kamala's word salads, where she can't express, philosophical views on a platform of programs that she would initiate. She failed at that miserably. Which is why she got trounced in the swing states. These two, okay, at least Kamala tried to put on the facade that I'm for all Americans. We know based on her part in that administration, she really wasn't, but at least she tried to play the game. These two don't even pretend. They tell you what they think of you. It's pretty scary, but it's also really good. Because no one with any common sense, listen, I'm going to interview a Democrat, former Democrat, big time liberal, part of the polling mechanism and all that. I'm interviewing that gentleman in 2 weeks. And he said, a lot of us couldn't take anymore. The Democratic Party is so out there right now, and they're so unfriendly and so anti-American and so divisive that we had to walk away. And this guy was in the heart of Democrat. You look at Lindy Lee and what she talks about with the Biden administration. And she had a seat at the table many times, being one of the primary fundraisers for the DNC. Their people are walking away. What's going to happen when these two get out in front? Are they going to walk back what they said? Well, the problem is they've said it's on tape, and whoever's running against them, whether it's Marco Rubio or J.D. Vance, all they're going to have to do is play the tape. It's over. You're promoting people like this. It's over. It's so radicalized now on the left with the Democratic Party that if JFK was alive today, he'd be a conservative Republican. Even Bill Clinton and his approach to things like immigration, right? He would be a moderate Republican. Pretty scary stuff that we're looking at here with these. But if we identify it and keep their statements out in front, then I think we can protect ourselves from leadership like this. So I welcome this as good news. The amazing thing is AOC's become increasingly more articulate. She was a joke when she got elected. I mean, do you remember before she got sworn in? When do we get paid? I couldn't stop laughing. Well, you have to sign the contract first. That means you got to be inaugurated. Take the oath of office. She's become a little more sophisticated. Okay, by the way, do you know who tabbed her? Bernie Sanders' people spotted her and groomed her for office. And who's she touring with right now? We hate people that make a lot of money. I mean, that's their tour. We hate the rich people tour that they're on. And they manufacture their crowds. I might talk about this just for a second. First of all, some of the crowds they get are paid. Okay. It's layered through NGOs. Some of it's foreign money. We're going to have a guest on in about 2 weeks again that's going to expose this. He's seen it also from the inside. I'm interviewing people who are former Democrats to tell us what things are really been like. And she is, well, like I said, you'll have to wait for the interview, but it's really, really interesting. I feel safer in America now and belief in our future if these two actually run. In fact, if I had a vote to vote in the Democratic primary, which I don't, I would actually vote for them. Yeah. It's kind of like the pretty girl at the prom stands next to the most homely girl. That's it for the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here next time. Check out our TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv, and our new series, Hiding in Plain Sight, people. Love it. Stretches the imagination. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And I have to tell you, we're going to have to use some common sense to solve this dilemma. Some of you don't care about sports, but I think you should care about the fabric of our society that seems to permeate with corruption, dishonesty, deceit, and usually in the name of pursuing the evil fruit we call money. Nothing wrong with pursuing money as long as you do it the right way. And in particular, I'm going to call out the NBA today. And this is something I've talked about before. I believe wholeheartedly what I'm going to tell you. And why is that? Well, because I know probability models. I used to teach statistics. I wrote a course in it once, but twice. I used to teach research methods for 4.5 years to grad students working on their dissertations. I understand the laws of probability, and we're going to interject some common sense into this, and we're going to talk about what just happened in the NBA and see if you agree with me. And it's a scandal of monumental proportions. It really keeps me from watching the NBA because I don't trust it, nor should you. And then, of course, they turn around and every other commercial they do is for betting. Okay, so if you can't trust the integrity of the organization, why would you ever involve yourself in something that has a reputation for being rigged, and that's betting? Dave's making some good points. Well, I'll make a lot more right here on the Common Sense Show. We are brought to you by Exhibit One, Nanosoma Spray. This boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. And I'll tell you, nothing else was working on RSV strep lung linings last year. I started using this, full recovery, and then some. But when I got into the gym, I had extreme joint issues. Is the reason I quit playing basketball. It's because that, well, then I used the Nanosoma gel, rub it on the joint, and in a few weeks, it was like I was a youth again. Today, I have no restrictions on what I do. I have no inflammation in my joints. And then there's the vanity cream, erases fine line wrinkles, good for cuts and abrasions. Together, the three of them are the starter pack, and they're 15% off. It's a great time, save money. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Isn't that a great title for a website that deals with helping you improve and get optimal health? I want my health back, but that's true for all of us. Again, iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. All right. I was going to play a couple of clips for you from the NBA draft. That's hyperbole. I'm going to remove the bells and the whistles and just give you the straight facts. In about 40% of all drafts, the odds of who gets the number one pick through a lottery process are just astronomical. And let me explain what happens. You take the bottom, what is it, eight teams of the league. You put them into a pool and you draw them out one at a time. Da, 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 da. Okay, oh, you're picking number eight, number seven, number six, and all the way down to one. So that way, the rationale is teams can't tank their season so they can go and get the first pick because they have the worst record. They are in the bottom eight. You could tank it to be in the bottom eight, and then we'll draw and it'll all be fair. And we have some accounting company. I don't know who they are. I wouldn't say their name if I knew it, but they're supposedly overseeing the integrity of this. Okay, well, the integrity violates repeatedly the laws of probability. And it happened again, and I'm tired of it. I don't trust the NBA, and I have the ability to look at the basketball framework of an organization and tell you whether I think they're worthy of being trusted because I have a background in coaching. So high school coach, college coach, NBA scout. I know this inside and out. I played college basketball. So I know how this system works. I know what it's supposed to look like. And I'll start with the draft lottery. Okay. Night before last, the Dallas Mavericks, they had a 1.8% chance of getting the number one pick and Cooper Flagg. They won. Cooper Flagg is the player of the year. And if you're not familiar, he could be the next Larry Bird. And if you don't know what that means, he's really, really good. Can't miss prospect. And in the middle of the year, just coincidentally, Dallas, and well, let's put it this way, the NBA anticipating LeBron James is going to retire soon. Dallas traded away Luka Doncic and got very little back in return. Who's Luka Doncic? He's one of the better players in the NBA. If he could stay in shape, he might be the best player. But he goes to Dallas to become the face of their franchise in the probability LeBron will either retire this year or next. Okay, and LA is a major TV market. The NBA ratings are down by 53% this year. LA, major market. We need to boost the ratings to boost the ratings for national by concentrating on improving LA. So Luka going there does that. But wait a minute, Dallas. Oh, we can't give him up, NBA. Backroom discussion. Well, what if we told you you were going to have Cooper Flagg on your team next year? Oh, okay, we'll do that deal. And the 1.8% chance came to fruition. Now, listen. People win the lottery in real life, and it tremendously violates the odds. You don't have even a 1.8% chance of hitting these lotteries, but some people do. But do they do it 40% of the time? No. When you look at the odds that fall below 5%, 40% of the draft lotteries fit into that. It's a joke. It's contrived. It's the way the league manipulates talent. They're looking at ratings as the long distance deal. And if it stopped there, I'd say, okay, Dave, you might be on a fishing expedition, except it happens too damn much. And over a period of time, the odds should start to surface. And generally, the first two highest odds would be the ones who most often get that number one pick. And that just doesn't happen that much. And then there's the other issue with officiating. Basketball is the hardest sport to officiate, and I've been lucky enough to coach with referees that work extremely hard to get it right, and they make mistakes. And that happens. We make mistakes in coaching. You make mistakes in your life. They make mistakes, and the game is bang, bang. And unless you're in the pro level or high-level college, you don't have the ability to do instant replay to correct a mistake. It's hard business. But then there is just some really obvious stuff. Let me ask you a question. Where does the NBA make more money? If a best of seven series, first team to four wins a series, if that series goes four games or seven games, where do you make the most money? TV revenue alone, right? With advertising, crowd, right? You got the gate. Okay, so you want it to go extended. So when playoff series are extended, here's what I've noticed, and of course, this could be the 1.8% coincidence, and there's nothing to this. But in the old days, back when Steve Nash was a budding talent for the Sacramento Kings, I believe, they lost a key series, and I looked at the reffing. I go, "This is awful. They're not supposed to win." Dick Pivetta, and he was often called the fixer. And then I started looking at other playoff series. And they're thinking, this game should have been over. The referee was so bad. They extended to get the revenue. Dick Pivetta, the fixer. Some people say Scott Foster fits that rule today. I don't have definitive proof, but I can just tell you what I've seen. He's at his crappiest when a series is on the verge of ending and it falls down in favor, in my opinion, my observation, on the team that needs to win that game to keep the series alive, thus increase the profits for the NBA. I can't say Scott Foster's doing it for sure. I couldn't testify to that in court, but I've sure seen a hell of a lot of coincidences. One of them involved the Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. Man, we know who's supposed to win that, Giannis and the Bucks. And a lot of people in Phoenix are saying this, but I'll tell you what people are saying across the board. It used to be, oh, the draft lottery is rigged. That's a conspiracy theory. You're stupid. Okay. Right now, the internet is ablaze with this. And yes, I suspect the draft lottery as being insincere and rigged. Now, I got bad news for you. Is it illegal to fix a basketball game? If you're a participant and take money, yes, you can go to prison. Can teams and leagues collude? There's no penalty. Loss of integrity, loss of trust, but I'm telling you, that's how it goes. Did I trust this last lottery? Not in a million years. It was a contrived deal. And generally, the public that's publishing on YouTube and X and Rumble, they got it right. 10 years ago, I would have laughed at you. I've seen it happen too many times. Now, how do I respond? I don't trust the league. I want outcomes determined through sheer talent. I don't want manipulation. Oh, this team needs to advance to the next round because they bring the higher TV revenue. I don't want to even consider rooting for a team in a league where they can be artificially cheated or assisted. And the NBA is replete with this, in my humble opinion. Don't waste your time. Now, I have people that I know who are in the betting world that, and I don't bet, by the way, but they say this really goes on in football too, and some in baseball. Watch your local high school team.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Please share far and wide. Algorithms not kind to us, and we need to reach a lot of people. And I just feel compelled right now that we got to wake as many people up as possible because I think we're going to need the sounds of marching feet going forward, millions of marching feet. And do you feel it in your gut? If you do, so do I. And this is what motivates me every day to share stories. And this story I'm going to share with you today bothers me to my core because I see Trump wasting time on something I don't think he can win. And I'm going to explain it. The pardons that Joe Biden issued after he promised not to pardon his son, he lied. After he said no one's above the law, he lied. He pardoned the J6 people. He's pardoned all family members that, at least in congressional testimony, it appears that they were involved in China financially in violation of the Hatch Act. I could go on and on and on, and yet they're all pardoned. They received preemptive pardons. Now, there's a question whether or not that's legal. We're going to get into that, and then we're going to talk about why I don't think this is going to go anywhere. Do I wish it would? Yeah, part of me really does wish it would, but I'm not sure it will. Hey, we are brought to you by a great set of products here. Exhibit A, the NanoSoma spray. And you hear me talk about it a lot. When I had nothing working for me and I had strep lung linings at RSV, I had to boost my immune system. Nothing else worked until I did this, thanks to Scotty Sachs. Exhibit B. And I was back in the gym about 3 weeks after I started taking the spray, at least meaningfully in the gym. I went to the gym, went through a few things, but it didn't amount to a whole lot. But this saved me when I started to working legs hard and my knees going like this, like I'd always had. And Scotty said, Dave, just rub the gel on. It's good for a lot of things, but one is joint inflammation. Sure enough. And I went and looked at the directions. It said it produces pluripotent stem cells. And I go, whoa. And I've experienced it today. I have no limitations in my workouts other than what my muscles will or will not do, but my joints are not holding me back. And then finally, a little vanity. Erasing fine lines, wrinkles, dealing with cuts and abrasions. The NanoSoma skin cream, fantastic. Together, they're the 3-pack, and you can get 15% off. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com
/Dave Hodges. I want my health back.com /Dave Hodges. I want to see President Trump be on point and not waste time on arguments he's not going to win. And there's two arguments that kind of stand simultaneously, even though I don't think they're directly connected. One is, as I said, the preemptive pardons. And two is eliminating birthright citizenship with someone who's born to people who've come into the country illegally. Let's deal with the first one. A question whether or not Biden had the right to do these preemptive pardons is the concept of preemptive. I have to punt on this because, first, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but I'm not the legal scholar to give an opinion on this because, first of all, I don't think it's ever been in court. I couldn't find any evidence of it. And some court's going to decide this, and yeah, I think it's probably going to be legal, as much as I don't like it. But I will say this. What we're talking about are federal crimes. It doesn't stop your attorney general or your district attorney from filing charges on the people that receive pardons if what they did affects that jurisdiction. The next item on this issue of pardons is the use of the auto pen. Well, I got bad news here, too. There's no question Joe Biden used the auto pen. No question whatsoever. However, there is legal precedent for its use. Obama did it, and he did it with legislation, signing it into law. Lyndon Johnson did it. John Kennedy did it. George Bush. They all have done it. They're not going to be able to invalidate these pardons based on this. Plain and simple. And I don't want to see the president wasting his resources on a battle I don't think he can win. There's too many catchable fish and low-hanging fruit that he can go after. Okay, the second issue that I brought up is very simply, can he do what he says he's going to do and strip birthright citizenship through executive order? The answer is no. I read the Constitution. If you're natural born, in other words, you're born, okay, and you're in the confines of this country, you're a citizen, doesn't matter what your parents say. And that's my interpretation of the Constitution. Now, you may not like how this has been twisted and moved around and angled to produce unintended consequences. And I would agree with your concerns if you have them. But I don't see the Supreme Court upholding what Trump did on an executive order. I think he's going to lose on both issues. Now, step aside, he's been brilliant in other areas. Brilliant. Well, first of all, he's at least temporarily stopped the Indian-Pakistan war. He has negated Iran to a large extent. Russia and Ukraine are now holding peace talks at Trump's insistence. These are all brilliant things. And then you add in DOGE and, okay, you get the idea. Deporting criminal illegal aliens, who I think we either put them in prison or you deport them. And if the judges get in the way, you put them in prison. They want due process, give them due process for the second time. He's been brilliant, but I don't think he can win these two battles. And I'd like to see him focus on what he can win because his resources are limited. He doesn't have, you know, unfathomable resources, and he can keep doing as much as he want when he... No, there are limits to what he can do. So that's my interpretation here from the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. TheCommonSenseShow.com is where you go. Click the newsletter link, put your email on, and now you won't have to come back here several times a day. You'll get an encapsulation of everything that we do in the previous 24 hours. Over 50,000 people are doing it. And it's free. We'll see you back here next time.